This is Terry Heil from the Talk Back Fans Podcast, and you're listening to the Barbecue Central Show with the incomparable host, Greg Rempe.
Start the game! Let's go!
We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live!
So to get that perfect barbecue, you use wood. Are you sure it's safe? Whatever. We put the lighter fluid on, strike the match, and... Oh.
Should we call the fire department?
That might be a good idea.
And welcome to the Really Big Barbecue Central Show. Don't freak out. Middle of the day on Wednesday, Eastern Time. It's not a joke. We are doing it live.
We'll do it live.
We do it live just like this for 2019. We've come into your living rooms or work cubicles, car radios, however you're getting it. We're here to do something special. Like we have for the last 5 years, we are announcing today exclusively here on this show in conjunction with American Royal, the 10 finalists for this year's Barbecue Hall of Fame. And joining me this afternoon are our pals Elizabeth Gunter and, for the first time, Amy Mills. Now, I say this only under the fact, not Amy Mills' first time on the show ever, but first time in this capacity. Amy is working out some things on her end, so we're going to mute her. Amy, whenever you can hear me, just give me the high sign and I'll unmute your line. But Elizabeth, it could just be me and you. We could be going mano a mano, getting out that top 10 list or 10 finalists list here. So let's go ahead and get through some of the introductory stuff here as the crowd builds in. And then, of course, we'll get to the 10 finalists here. Elizabeth, a little background on you for the folks that aren't familiar, because we had Emily Park on for a number of years as we got this thing going. And then last year was your first year here doing the announcements on this show. For the new folks that are just tuning in by happenstance here, your name, where you're from, and what you do with the American Royal.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be back this year. So I'm Elizabeth Gunter. I grew up in DeKalb, Missouri. It's a very small town right outside of St. Joseph, Missouri. So very close to Kansas City. And at the American Royal, I'm an event coordinator. And if you're not here with the American Royal, we focus on four different facets of agriculture. So that is livestock, rodeo, equine, and barbecue. And barbecue happens to be my favorite. So I dive into barbecue quite a bit and education as well. But with the American Royal, it is our mission to create a world where food and agriculture is celebrated and all generations are committed to its future. And so the Barbecue Hall of Fame works perfectly in that, celebrating the heritage and really focusing on that education to the newcomers and preserving that history. So that is kind of my role.
From a Barbecue Hall of Fame standpoint, like, what did you know about it coming in, and what are you tasked with as far as, you know, running this whole situation?
Absolutely. So it was kind of like trial by fire, if I'm going to admit. I was fresh out of college. So I started back August 2022. So I'm coming up here on 2 years. And Emily Park had just recently left. And so I had a lot of big shoes to fill. And with not really growing up in the realm of barbecue, you know, I was really listening to those around me and really focusing on how can I learn as much as possible. And so the selection committee has been a huge help in kind of instilling some knowledge that is really, really helpful and beneficial in creating that experience. So all of our barbecue Hall of Fame experience I help create with me, and then also the Black Apron and an induction ceremony on site at the World Series of Barbecue. I get to help my boss, Casey Vincent, the barbecue manager, compile all the judges and get the teams in for the World Series of Barbecue. We have some certified judging classes here at the American Royal, some table captain classes. We do a sauce and rub contest. So my hands are in it all forward, but my background in that specifically related to barbecue, I guess, would be I was on the Mizzou meat judging team. I majored in animal science, so I really, really liked learning about where my food comes from and how the impact of what we feed our animals and the stress factors can really implement and affect the meat quality. And so going on to the Mizzou meat judging team, I actually had the opportunity to look at carcass quality grading and get to do all of that. And so I think this is a really great opportunity getting to look at the back end. So it's a really 360 model of agriculture for me.
All right, I'm going to break just for 1 second because I'm trying to keep an eye out for Amy at the same time here. So I'm going to pop her audio up, see if she can hear me. Amy, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Hey, can you hear me?
We did it. Stand by. I'm bringing you back in. Now we are all together, one big happy Hall of Fame family here. So Elizabeth was just giving us a little background on her and what she's tasked with to do as it relates to Barbecue Hall of Fame. Amy, for the folks who have been living under rocks, what's the brief background on an Amy Mills?
I am the owner of 17th Street Barbecue. I'm the daughter of Mike the Legend Mills and worked side by side with him since 2020, although our restaurant started in 1985. And I have not only 17th Street, but the factory at 17th Street, Faye, a mail order operation, OnQ Consulting, and the warehouse at 17th Street, which is like our catering and concessions arm.
By the way, Mike Mills, a legacy inductee to the Barbecue Hall of Fame. So before this incarnation of the current Barbecue Hall of Fame, there was an online original Barbecue Hall of Fame started by the likes of Mike from Hawkeyes, Ray Basso from the Barbecue Forum, and Mike was inducted along with some other barbecue legends that people probably don't know anymore, unfortunately. So Mike Mills in the Barbecue Hall of Fame. Let's talk about the names committee, or this leads us into the process of how we get into the top 10 finalists. So, Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about the names committee and who's on it this year.
Absolutely. So we have 6 very intelligent people, and it ranges the background from people that are pit masters, people that own businesses, people that are food writers. So we have a wide variety that can really represent the barbecue industry. But Jim Ockmoody is on it, Adrian Miller, Ray Lampe, Amy Mills, who is here herself in representing today, Kevin Bledsoe, Hannah Raskin, and J.C. Reed.
I've noticed over the years that list has a tendency to change. Amy, you're sitting on it. You've been on it, I think, for a couple of years at least. Is, as we call it in the trucking industry, slip-seating. Is slip-seating some people a good thing for new perspective in names committee, or could it lead to any type of an inconsistency?
Well, I think it actually is an excellent practice because we have a very wide range of regions and, people with a great depth of knowledge about barbecue. So I think it's very important to have a voice in all areas of the country. And this is an extremely well-rounded group of people.
For the folks that don't know about the Barbecue Hall of Fame process, Elizabeth, bring us, right along from that initial nomination to where we are today.
Absolutely. So the initial nomination, it is open all year round. Anyone and everyone is really encouraged to nominate an individual they see fit to go into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. And so it goes from April to April is really when we close that down and really start picking through those. And so the selection committee will meet early on in the year, typically early February, and we will continue looking at everyone that has come about on the list. And then they start looking at who really fits the description of what it means to be in the Barbecue Hall of Fame. And so that list can, this year we had over 83 nominations that included living and legacy. And so the list, the selection committee take their time and look through that list and really narrow it down into their top 25. And it's really, really hard from there once they get down to that. And then they're like fighting it out, duking it out of who gets to be in the top 10. And that's really what happens. And then we're here today.
So is it 83 unique nominations, or is it like 25 people, but there were some others that were nominated many different times?
It is unique. Wow. There are people, there was one individual this year that was nominated 40 times, but that still only counts as one nomination as a unique nomination.
That was me, wasn't it? It's a joke.
I can't tell my secrets.
Amy, you're on the names committee, so when you are sifting through what we call like the main holding tank of nominees, do you have a personal criteria as to what the Barbecue Hall of Fame means to you, and then how you are deciding, you know, which in the holding tank get into your top 25 before you start arguing for a top 10?
That's a great question. I think that I share the same ethos as the rest of the nominating committee. So we are really looking at people who have made a deep contribution to barbecue, often in more than one area, but there's always a nod to preserving the legacy of barbecue. And then, of course, people who are extremely well-rounded, and they may be on TV and have a book and a restaurant, and they do it all. So, you know, we are certainly looking kind of at the depth and breadth of a person's contribution and experience in the world of barbecue.
All right, a couple of last questions here before we make the announcements. For the folks that were in the general nomination pool, Elizabeth, how long are they then eligible for, or do you have to be nominated each year to be in consideration?
Absolutely. So you do not have to be nominated each year. Once your name is put in, you are in there for 3 years, and then it's up to the committee to decide if you fall off or not. And then any time that your name is entered back in, then it's another additional 3 years. So every time your name is put in, it's 3 more years under your belt. You get to stay on.
Once you're on the finals list, how does that differ, or what's the process there?
So that doesn't really change much. The finals list is the committee will select the top 10 that they feel like this year is well qualified for this year. The hard thing is everyone is so deserving of this award and achievement on this list. But I think they really look at how many people have been on that list before and really try to keep them on that list as much as possible so they get one step closer to being inducted.
But there isn't a... For instance, we're going to be putting in 4 people into the Barbecue Hall of Fame this year. Those 6 people that don't get in aren't immediately carried over to the finals list for next year. They have to be reconsidered or re-argued for again to make the list.
That is correct. Okay. They are rediscussed.
All right. So, Amy, what happens after today, after we've revealed these top 10 names? What's going to happen?
So after today, everybody is going to be so excited and able to share the news, because it's a huge accomplishment just to land on this top 10 list. And then the committee and the standing Hall of Fame will vote on the inductees. And when will those be announced, Elizabeth? Does that get announced in June?
It's May 22nd.
May 22nd. And then we will actually induct them at the Black Apron ceremony at the Royal in November.
All right. So without any further ado, that's the process. Let's go ahead and start rolling through these 10 in no particular order. What I figured I would do is I'll ask Elizabeth to give us a name. And then Amy, if you want to share any insight or personal anecdote, I'm sure you know a lot of these folks. Please go ahead and jump in, add a little color here. So, Elizabeth, first name, please.
Danielle Bennett, also known as Diva Q.
Wow. Diva Q. Huge name.
Yes. Huge name in barbecue. And I know that all of your viewers, I'm sure, are very familiar with Danielle, because I know she's been on your show frequently. You know, Danielle has really done it all. She qualifies as a very well-rounded candidate. She has an acclaimed television show. She has award-winning books. She competes and has had great success on the competition circuit. She teaches classes. She really is spreading the gospel of barbecue wherever she goes. So congratulations to Danielle.
All right. Diva Q is in. Next finalist, Elizabeth.
Rick Brown.
Why no Rick Brown? So I was first introduced to a Rick Brown via the television, much like Stephen Reichlin. But Amy, what can you tell us about Rick Brown?
Well, I have highlighted many of my notes here about Rick Brown because, again, a very illustrious barbecue career. He is an expert cook and pit master. He has authored 16 books about barbecue. He's a photojournalist. He's an author. His Barbecue America series, I think, introduced many people to barbecue. And he really is out there continuing to work. He's known for that trademark picnic plaid, red and white checkered shirt that he wears. I first met him on the banks of the Mississippi when he was there filming something for Memphis at May. But, you know, Rick is really a staple in the barbecue world and a most worthy candidate.
No doubt. By the way, DivaQ Rick Brown, first time nominees here. So who's the third name we're going to mention, Steve?
Steve Grady.
All right, Steve. Now, fun fact before Amy goes on a little bio for Steve. Third time on the list. I remember hearing Steve's name last year and the year before. So much like some others in the past, this is his third arrival on the finals list. Go ahead, Amy.
Yes. What is it? Susan Lucci of this list, right? We have. She had to be on the, took her a long time to get an Emmy award.
Yeah.
Steve Grady is really a fixture and a very important person in North Carolina barbecue. And here's where we're really nodding and recognizing history. And it's so important. I think there are lots of names with whom we're all familiar, but it's important to reach back to the past and remember those who got us here. He's 89 years old.
Wow.
He is still cooking whole hogs every day. His barbecue stands as one of the few whole hog smokehouses left in North Carolina who are doing it the old fashioned way. And we are, you know, certainly cheering Mr. Grady on.
Number four. First timer on the list.
Andy Husband.
All right. Now, I know Andy. I'm almost ashamed to say I've loved Andy for a long time. And I first fell in love with Andy when he was a competitor on like season one or two of Hell's Kitchen. I was like, look at this guy. I reached out to him. I had no idea he was into barbecue. And then he came on the show. And just through our conversation, he mentioned, oh, by the way, I'm on this team. I know Chris Hard, blah, blah, blah. And I fell more deeply in love with him than I thought I was already. So, Amy, what's Andy Husband's up to barbecue-wise?
So, Andy is such a great guy. And I met Andy, you know, I lived in Boston for 20 plus years of my adult life and ate at Tremont 647, his acclaimed restaurant there for years. I actually first met him cooking at Little Compton, Rhode Island at Saconnet Vineyard at a barbecue event there. But I do know, obviously, Andy and Chris from the circuit and their fabulous IQ barbecue team. But Andy, you know, is the author of, I have to look at my cheat sheet, how many books? So many books. Six books, but most of your audience will be very familiar with Pitmaster and Wicked Good Barbecue. He's part of the team that won the 2009 Jack Daniel's World Invitational Barbecue Cooking Contest and the first New England team or team outside and the team in the Northeast to win that contest. Obviously, Bill Gillespie has gone on to win that as well from that area. But now, Andy has been on, you know, many television shows, including his probably start at Hell's Kitchen. I was fortunate to judge Fire Masters with him on the Cooking Channel for several seasons. And then he also now has at least three smoke shop barbecue restaurants in the Boston area. So he really is living and breathing barbecue day in, day out. He teaches classes. You know, he's just very passionate about barbecue, and he's another one of those culinary people, a chef who has gone full on into barbecue.
First time nominee, by the way. Happy for Andy there. All right. Number five, who's next?
David Close.
Ooh, famed pitmaster. I once owned a Close for a number of years given to me by a friend. So very familiar there. Amy, what about Dave Close?
So he started, Dave started making his pits in 1986. So he has a very long barbecue career. Everyone in Texas knows him. Many people in Texas and beyond have one of those custom built close pits. He was really still trying to pioneer trail cooking. He's been on Pitmasters. He is very much a character. And somebody with whom very many people in the barbecue world would be familiar.
Congratulations to Dave Close. By the way, second time on the finals list. He was on for the first time last year. Number six, where are we at, Elizabeth?
Fast Eddie.
All right. Ed Moore, a longtime friend of my show. And I guess what people most associate with Eddie, and I'm not going to try and steal any thunder here, Amy, but maybe what they don't realize is how good of a competitor he was before he got into some other things. So what else can you tell us about Eddie?
Well, yes, Eddie is a very fierce competitor, but he is also known for pioneering that gravity-fed pellet cooker and then teaming up with Cook Shack to make them not only for the backyard, but obviously now many barbecue restaurants use those Fast Eddie, those Cook Shacks, FECs. And Eddie... is this his first time on this list?
This is Eddie's second time.
That's what I thought. Okay. Right. It's all running together for me. But second time on the list, a very worthy competitor. You know, he's another pit guy now on our list. We have David Close and Eddie, two totally different kinds of pits, two very different careers in barbecue, and both people very worthy of being on this list.
Not that it matters, but Fast Eddie, also a Barbecue Central show's guest Hall of Fame member as well.
Yes.
That might tip the scale. Elizabeth, number seven.
Philip McLard.
All right. Now, admittedly, not a name I am immediately familiar with, and that's why we have the expert here to make sure that everybody's up to speed. So what do we know about Phil, Amy?
So McLard's in Arkansas, and I don't know how many Arkansas people you have following your show,
many.
But it is a household name in Arkansas, very, very synonymous with barbecue and old line barbecue. When I called him to tell him about this award, I kept calling, and finally the person said to me, he only works from 2 a.m. to 10 a.m., so I had to adjust the time I was calling him. He is the third generation running McLard's. McLard's started in 1928.
Wow.
And has served presidents. You know, they are just a very illustrious barbecue restaurant and most worthy of a Hall of Fame nod.
Amy, let me follow up with you on that, because that strikes me as unbelievable. I know Steve Grotti's kind of in a similar situation here, but as someone who has had a barbecue restaurant for decades, when you talk about 1928 and all the evolution and staying relevant, and as somebody who does consulting for barbecue restaurants, what kind of an achievement and what are they doing right to stay in business that long?
I would say that is a near impossible feat, and we could probably, I don't know how many there are. There are certainly many Texas restaurants who are doing this as well. We are in our 39th year, and I can't even imagine like what that would be like to be almost 100 years old. It's really a feat. You know, you have Big Bob Gibson, who's coming up on their 100th. So they're in that category. And I think they probably didn't seek fame. They didn't seek their fame in television or in books or anything like that. So while they may not be a national household name, they are very much a respected name for those who are super familiar with and who study the world of barbecue. But I think that this is an incredible feat, and the fact that he's there still working day in, day out is a testament to that. That's how you do that. You still have to be very involved.
Incredible. All right, number eight, Elizabeth, who is the name?
Roy Perez.
Ooh, I know Roy. By the way, McLard's first time nominee. And if my notes are right, Roy Perez, also first-time nominee. I know Roy, not personally, but I certainly know who he is. I know the look. I know where he's from. What about Roy, Amy?
So I think that Roy and those mutton chop sideburns of his are very synonymous with Texas barbecue. He has been at Christ Market since March 25th, 1987. He was hired with zero experience, but Rick Schmidt took him in, trained and mentored him. He started off in sausage and learning all of the subtleties of sausage making and sausage cooking. And now, of course, anytime you see a picture of Texas barbecue, you very well might see one of those pictures of Roy Perez wielding a knife with a big slab of brisket on a cutting board in front of him. He is very loyal to the Schmidt family. Rick Schmidt, the owner, and now Keith, the current owner of Kreitz Market. And I think that he has just a deep passion and love for barbecue. He loves talking to the people who come in. He loves having his picture taken with them and just really extolling the virtues of classic Texan barbecue.
All right, so congratulations to Roy for landing on the list. Number 9, Elizabeth.
Malcolm Reed.
Wow. I'm not going to fanboy out on Malcolm Reed. I'm also not going to say that he's a monthly guest as early as last night on the Barbecue Central show, but I know who he is. Second time on the list as well. What do we know about Malcolm Reed, Amy?
I don't think there's anything I can tell you about Malcolm Reed that you and your audience don't already know, but I am just personally a huge fan and admirer. I can remember sitting at an NBBQA conference in probably 2009 in Austin, Texas, when Malcolm talked about, his side hustle of making these YouTube videos and blogging about barbecue. And now, my dentist asked me, "Do you know Malcolm Reed?" And I say, "Yes, I do." So Malcolm has, really become a barbecue star and sensation, and he has the chops to prove it. The education he provides, and of course his stellar line of products, are just huge contributions to the barbecue world.
Little known fact, when Malcolm was a younger man and would frequent the local Pizza Hut, they would close it down, pour pitchers of beer, and play WWF wrestling for real in the restroom. Just putting it out there. All right, one more left.
Awesome.
Rounding out the top 10, Van's and again, nice. In no particular order. I'm sorry, I stepped all over you, Elizabeth. Go ahead.
Van Sykes.
Van Sykes. All right. So again, the name I'm not overly familiar with, so I'm leaning on Amy to give me the heads up.
So again, a very classic Alabama barbecue family. Bob Sykes barbecue restaurant is in Bessemer, Alabama. I've had the fortune of eating there several times, and I know Van. Van is the second generation owner, still working in that restaurant every day. So again, a key and a clue to success, so that you can't not be in your restaurant. He is one of the 50 founding members of the Southern Foodways Alliance, which I think is very important. And in fact, the first time I met Van was at a Southern Foodways Alliance event. And we really bonded over restaurant operations and really talking about a lot of behind the scenes things that are required to keep employees well-trained and happy and restaurants humming along. So he is a wealth of knowledge and experience in the barbecue world. And that restaurant is just on perennial best of Alabama lists and is really a true barbecue shrine and destination.
All right, so that's the list. Van Sykes, Malcolm Reed, Roy Perez, Philip Beclard, Ed Morin, Dave Close, Andy Husband, Steve Grotti, Rick Brown, and Diva Q, Danielle Bennett is your finalist list here. Four of those will make up the 2024 Barbecue Hall of Fame class, and that's going to be announced in 2 weeks' time, exactly 2 weeks from today on the 22nd, at the very same time, 3 p.m. Eastern. We'll all revisit and learn who makes up the Hall of Fame. Before we go, is there anything I left off or that we want to cover, Elizabeth, or are we good?
I think we're good with that.
All right.
Honestly, great job.
Is there anything you want to promote or that the American Royal has coming up here over the next couple of weeks we should know about?
Absolutely. We always have something going on around here. So we have our barbecue, certified barbecue judging class and table captain class coming up this year. We have three of them, June 15th, August 24th, September 14th. So if you want to become a certified judge through KCBS, please come on out, sign up. It's on the portal online. I'm happy to have you. And then once you get that certification, you can come on out and see us at the World Series of Barbecue, October 30th through November 3rd. That's going to be at the Kansas Speedway. It is later in the year this year, but registrations for judges and teams should come out the end of this month, early June.
Amy, anything you, 17th Street, or one of the many other businesses you have your hands in looking to promote today?
We have all kinds of things to promote today. I'll tell you about two things. Our applications are live and online for our 37th annual Praise the Lord Murfreesboro Barbecue Cook-Off. It is the only tri-sanctioned barbecue cook-off. We run simultaneous steak, SCA steak contest, MBN, and KCBS contest. There's the steak is a double header. There's one Friday night and then one on Saturday. So many of those teams cross over. We generally have about maybe seven teams will cook both KCBS and MBN. Heath Riles actually won grand champion of both of those a few years ago. So that is quite a feat. And of course, our trophies are those coveted blown glass apples. You can look at Darren Worth's Facebook page sometime. He has a whole orchard of them displayed in glass cases all over his restaurant. So we are always excited to welcome our old barbecue competition friends, as well as make some new ones here in Murfreesboro. And our factory at 17th Street is fully up and running and operational, and we are producing our own barbecue sauces and rubs, as well as co-packing for other people. So we are pretty full up for the next 2 months for co-packing, but if anybody is thinking about getting their product co-packed and like wants to have that in time for the holidays or something special, they should get in touch.
All right, maybe we should do a segment on my show some Tuesday night and talk about co-packing and all that fun stuff. I think that would be an advantage for our listeners if they're looking to do something like that.
We can totally do that.
All right. So, Elizabeth, thank you very much from the American Royal side. Amy, appreciate you taking time out today and giving us the bios on these folks. And we'll all revisit here in 2 weeks' time and see who makes it into the hall. Thanks so much, ladies.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for giving.
There they are. That was great. We are right on time. And thanks again to Amy Mills from 17th Street and Elizabeth Gunter from the American Royal. If you're just tuning in, I am happy to tell you that A, it's all being recorded, so it'll be uploaded and podcast here in just a little bit, so you can get it. Two releases in one day, because our number one is already out. And then the top 10 finalists for this year's Barbecue Hall of Fame are as follows. Danielle Bennett, Diva Q, Rick Brown, Steve Grotti, Andy Husbands, Dave Close, Ed Morin, Philip McLard, Roy Perez, Malcolm Reed, and rounding out the list is Van Sykes. There you have it. I see you guys in the chat. I appreciate it. Certainly, my heart. I love you guys and gals. Maybe next year, we'll keep efforting. We'll get there some year, maybe not. Okay, so there you have it. 10 finalists, as I mentioned, 2 weeks from today at 3 p.m. Eastern. We learn who's in the hall. We'll have legacy members as well. We'll also learn if there's going to be an impact award or not. That's not something that happens every year. Thanks again to Amy Mills from 17th Street and Elizabeth Gunter from the American Royal. And until next Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, this is your program host and proud U.S. American saying September 11th, 2001. I will never forget. Good afternoon now.
This is Doug Scheiding of Rogue Cookers, Texas Embedded Correspondent. You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show.